Thank you for listening to this sermon from MCA Church. If you'd like to learn more about what's going on in our community, head to our website at mcachurch.ca. Thanks for listening.
Father, we enter into your presence once again. But the reality is, where can we go from your presence, Lord? You are everywhere, and you see all of us. And so, Lord, we hide nothing from you this morning. We simply come and say, you are the good Father. Jesus, we thank you that you have come to reveal the Father to us. And Jesus, we thank you that the heart of the Father that you reveal to us is not condemnation for his children, but life and freedom, forgiveness. And so, Jesus, this morning we invite you by your Spirit to make the gospel real in our lives as we turn to you. Lord, there are some here this morning that maybe they've never been to a church before and they're like, what is going on? As we lift the name of Jesus this morning, we pray by your Spirit you would lead us into the fullness of life that is found only in you. Release us from the things that bind us, and may love mark us, because we know you always welcome us in. We love you, Jesus, and we pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen. Welcome. Why don't you have a seat? My name is Keith. I am a pastor here at the church. A real special welcome to you if you are a visitor here. Maybe you're here for the baby dedication that we just had, or maybe you're looking to begin a new rhythm in your life, and you decided, I'm going to go to church. Way to go. That is like one of the biggest risks I've ever heard anyone ever take. And so want to know that you're welcome. You might be sitting there thinking, hey, do I belong here? Is this a place for me? Of course it is, because it's a place for people like me. And so I'm thankful that you're here. I want to take the opportunity at the start of this new year to lead us all into something that every one of us wants. We all want to experience a more fulfilled life. We want to live our days with a greater sense of purpose and a greater experience of joy. We all want that, don't we? But I want you to know this morning that that is precisely what God wants for us too. He wants you to experience life as it was meant to be experienced. Now, Jesus called it the abundant life. It's the life of greater enjoyment and purpose that he has made you for and he invites you into. And I want to help you take further steps into that life this year. I want to do that by calling you to three simple rhythms of living. These are simple rhythms of life that the Church Universal has practiced for thousands of years. Rhythms that both bring life, the life of Christ to us, and they cultivate the life of Christ in us. Specifically, over the next 3 weeks, I want to invite you into a renewed rhythm of prayer, of hospitality, and of reading Scripture. Now, today, we begin talking about prayer, the rhythm of prayer. Next week, on next Sunday, I have a friend of mine coming here, Pastor Kevin Green. He's the pastor at First Baptist Church here in Kelowna. And he's going to come and share some of his experiences related to hospitality. You're not going to want to miss that one. I'm really excited about having Kevin here, not just because Kevin is an amazing person I've gotten to know over the last couple of years, but because Kevin has a heart to see the churches connected. Much like the one worship night that is coming up in about a week or so here, Kevin has a heart to see the churches united with one another, as do I. We share the same heart in that regard. And so Kevin came to me and said, Keith, maybe one way we can connect our communities is if I come to your church and I preach a sermon, and you go to my church and preach a sermon as a way of getting to know what God is doing in each of our communities. And I said, sure, sounds like a great idea. I'm looking forward to that next week. But today, I want to call you into a simple rhythm of prayer. And I call it simple because taking time in our day to turn our hearts to God in prayer isn't really something difficult to do. I mean, you don't need to buy a special piece of equipment to pray, do you? Right? You don't need to go out and get like what was the thing that they put in the legs to strengthen your thighs, Suzanne Summers? Am I showing my age? You don't need a special piece of gym equipment to pray. You don't need to go out and buy something to pray. You don't need a postgraduate degree in metaphysics to pray. You simply need a desire. Prayer is a simple rhythm that anyone can incorporate into their daily life. Yet prayer isn't so simple, is it? I think that many people struggle to pray. I struggle to pray at times. Is that true for you? You struggle to find time, or you struggle to find the right words, or you struggle to see the point of praying at all because nothing seems to happen when you pray. Do you resonate? Though prayer can be a simple rhythm in our lives, prayer isn't all that simple to figure out, and we need some help. Even Jesus' disciples knew that they needed help, so they asked Jesus, Jesus, teach us to pray. Let me read Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 4. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. And Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. It's the only recorded question we ever see the disciples asking Jesus to teach them. Teach us to pray. Not teach us to preach like you, Jesus. Not teach us to heal like you, Jesus, but Jesus, teach us to pray. Though prayer comes naturally to us at times, like when we're facing troubles or difficult circumstances, though it comes naturally at times, we need a little help to plumb the depths of prayer and all that God intends it to accomplish in our lives. We need some help. And that's what I want to do today, to help you plumb new depths in your life of prayer, to help you cultivate a more fulfilled life through a more connected life with Jesus in prayer. When I was a newly minted pastor, and I'm talking like fresh, I had no idea what I was doing as a new pastor. After I had preached a sermon on Sunday on prayer, I had a man from our congregation come up to me and he asked me, Keith, answer this question for me. He said, why should I pray? And the question, to be honest, stumped me quite a bit because no one had really ever asked me a question like that. Why should I pray? I thought it was quite self-evident why we should pray. And so I fumbled through an answer, and to be honest, I can't quite remember exactly what I said to the man. I bet you it wasn't very profound. I'll go on record saying that. But I do remember what he said in return to me. He said this. He said, Keith, I think that prayer is like stretching. He was a runner. Okay, what he was going to say wasn't very profound either, all right? He said, I think prayer is like stretching. I know that I should do it, but I can still run without it. And I remember giving a bit of a nervous chuckle in the moment because I didn't know how to respond, though there was something inside of me that was saying, His understanding of prayer was grossly misguided. I've had 12 years to reflect on that conversation, and I put my finger on what I think didn't sit well with me that day. You see, prayer isn't so much something that a Christian adds to their life in order to make it better, but rather, prayer is the means by which the Christian comes to find their true life. For the Christian, prayer isn't an a la carte option for living. Rather, it's the place from which we learn to truly live the life that we were designed for, a life of intimate connection to the one who created us. You see, a much better question to ask is this: why do people pray at all? Not why should I pray, but why do we pray at all? Why does every human being, regardless of what they believe about God, why do they venture to pray at one point or other in their life? It's a much more interesting question. Like after the world wars, there was a saying that developed, and perhaps you've heard it. The saying goes, there are no atheists in foxholes, right? It's this idea that when your life is under pressure, it doesn't matter what you believe about God, we turn to prayer at one point or another. Why is it that when one is faced with some of the greatest concerns of our lives, like our health, or our finances, or our family, why does anyone and everyone end up turning to prayer? It's a good question. And I'm convinced it's because of this, that every human being is hardwired to pray. It's part of being made in God's image. We're hardwired to know where to turn when we are looking for life. So we pray. It's like a reflex. And we feel the reflex the most when our circumstances stretch us. So here's the point. We all pray because we are hardwired for communion with God. To be human, it means we are made to live in relationship with God. It's why we all pray. And as such, prayer isn't so much something we add to our lives to make our lives better. Rather, prayer is the means by which we find the very life we've been made for. Prayer, it's the primary touch point of a personal relationship with God. Prayer, it has been said, is the place in which we find our true home. It is the place where we go to know and enjoy the one who made us and calls us his own. Prayer is the place in which we find our heart's true home. Richard Foster says this about prayer. He says, for too long we have been in a far country, a country of noise and hurry and crowds, a country of climb and push and shove, a country of frustration and fear and intimidation. And Jesus, he welcomes us home, home to serenity and peace and joy. Home to friendship and fellowship and openness with him. Home to intimacy and acceptance and affirmation. He welcomes us home to make our home in prayer as we connect with him. I suspect that there are many people here who, in the busyness of life, in the responsibilities, in the noise of living, they are longing to find their home in prayer. You're longing to experience afresh the fulfillment that comes in meaningful communion with God through his Holy Spirit in prayer. Friends, I want you to know that no matter your history with prayer, your frustrations, your disappointment, maybe even your current rhythms, I want you to know that there is more of Jesus to experience. More of his joy, more of his peace, more of his voice. Jesus has more for you in the quiet place of prayer. Let's go there together this year. I mean, could you imagine how on fire the people of God in this place could be if we met, like really met, with Jesus in prayer on a regular basis? The love that we would have for this city It would be on fire. The righteousness and justice that we would see flowing from this place into our city, it would affect this town. The enjoyment and fulfillment of one another's company together and in our lives, it would improve. It might astound us. Jesus has more, and we all want the more. Now, here's how most of us typically experience prayer. This is how, as I think about it, this is really how primarily I experience prayer. I think it's true that this is how most people experience prayer. Something happens to us, and then we pray, right? This is the pattern that we follow, right? Something happens to us. Something happens in our job or in our family or in our relationships or in our health. Something happens, then we pray in response to the things that have happened. And now these prayers, they're called prayers of petition. We petition God for him to do something in response to what's happened to us. And these prayers, they're wholly appropriate. Something happens, and then we pray. But what if we flipped the script? What if things were turned around? Not something happens to us, then we pray, but we pray, and then something happens to us. Do you hear the difference? Not something happens, then we pray, but we pray, then something happens. You see, it's the difference between prayers of petition and prayers of transformation that we pray, and something happens in us, to us, through us, in the power of the Holy Spirit. I submit to you that what we need to flip the script is the Holy Spirit. And I submit to you that we need to flip the script if we are ever going to step into all that prayer is meant to be. Not something happens to me, then I pray, but I pray, then something happens to me. You see, there is a way of praying that can shape the person that we are becoming. A way of praying where we are open to the leading of the Holy Spirit, or better yet, where we participate with the Holy Spirit's work of transformation in our lives. You see, when the disciples asked Jesus in Luke chapter 11, "Teach us to pray," Jesus responds with a form of the Lord's Prayer that we know. The longer version of the Lord's Prayer is in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. But here in Luke 11, he responds with what we know of the Lord's Prayer. And the prayer is, in fact, a sequence of prayers. "Hallowed be your name. Forgive our debts. Give us this day our daily bread." But at the heart of these little prayers is a unifying chorus when we pray, "God, may your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." When we ask Jesus to teach us to pray, Jesus teaches us to pray for his kingdom to come, for his kingdom to be manifest in our world. It is a prayer that is calling for Jesus to rule over all of the earth, just as he is ruling over heaven. But did you catch it? Jesus teaches us to pray that the whole world would live under his leadership. Every heart, every person, every relationship, which includes your own heart, your own person, your own relationships. Jesus is teaching us a prayer of recalibration, a prayer intended to bring us back under his leadership, back into the way and the truth and the life that he possesses. Not something happens to us, then we pray, but we pray, "Your kingdom come, Lord Jesus," and something happens in us. This year, I want to call you into what might be for you a new way of praying. I want to invite you into this prayer of transformation where we ask, "Kind Father, may your kingdom come, your will be done in me as it is in heaven." Gordon Smith, he is the president of Ambrose University. We had him here speaking a number of months ago. In his little book here, Teach Us to Pray, it's a wonderful book. He says in here that there should be three movements in our prayers, three movements that help us to live into the reality of what we are praying for when we pray, Your kingdom come. Three movements to our praying. They are giving thanks, making confession, and practicing discernment. And I want to take a few moments here with the rest of this message to walk you through these three movements, because I think that they will serve you well as you cultivate your life of prayer this year. First, the first movement in our praying, Your kingdom come. We pray and give thanks. That's the first movement. When we pray for God's kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven, we begin by thanking God for the ways His kingdom has already come into our world and into our lives. We begin with thanksgiving. We pray, Holy Spirit, where are you already doing your good work in me, in my family, in my workplace, in my church, in my city, in my world? Help me to see where you are already at work so I can celebrate your kingdom come and give thanks. As we pray for God's kingdom to come, our first movement is to thank Him for what He has already done. And if you've been around the church for a while, you know that this is kind of how we model our prayers. We begin with thanksgiving. It's the mark of a Christian pilgrim. And it sounds simple enough, doesn't it, to begin with giving thanks? But I do believe we struggle with this from time to time. We struggle with giving thanks. You see, a good deal of us, we are inclined to focus on the areas where God seems not to be working. It's where our attention lies. We're tempted to focus on all the ways we wish God were more present or more active or more attentive in our life. And the reality for many people is that they become blinded by their complaint, and they simply cannot see where God is indeed answering their prayer for His kingdom to come upon the earth. I know it to be true because I see it in my own life. Sometimes I'm blinded by complaint that I don't see where God is working in my life. Listen to what Gordon Smith has to say on this. Could it be that the genius of seeing well, of having kingdom eyes, is that we are first and foremost attentive to what God is already doing? Rather than complaint for what is wrong, our point of departure as Christians is thanksgiving for the multiple ways that God is indeed already at work. And we give thanks. We begin and end our day with thanksgiving rather than complaint. We develop kingdom eyes that can see and appreciate the sometimes very quiet and subtle ways that God is at work. We begin with thanksgiving. I remember becoming a new dad, and boy, is that a rude awakening, is it not? Having kids. When Sophia, my daughter, my firstborn, when she was young, probably about 6 months, she slept quite well at the beginning. She never slept really well. It got worse at some point. And there was this like rhythm in my life where every morning at 4 a.m., Sophia would wake up. And Gina and I would kind of trade off. We'd take turns as to who would get up at 4 a.m. in the morning to attend to our crying daughter. And I loved the days when it was Gina's turn. And so this rhythm would develop every morning, 4 a.m., the alarm would go off, but it's not one you can turn off. There's no snooze button for this alarm. And on the mornings where I had to get up, there was a prayer, a rhythm of prayer that came into my life. It was, Lord, you know where the snooze button is, so please push it. Put my daughter to sleep because this is the most awful thing. It's torture. Why would you do this to people? And it was a prayer over and over again, honestly, that I prayed night after night. But you know what? God never really seemed to answer my prayer. And I remember holding my daughter one night, just saying, "Lord, this is and pardon the expression, Lord, because this is how I prayed. I said, "This is a God awful time." 4 a.m., holding my daughter. I said, "Put her to sleep, Lord, because I just want to sleep." And then I remember hearing God's whisper. And he said, "I'm not answering that prayer, Keith. I have something much better in mind for you, and you're holding it." And the shape of my prayers changed that moment. They were not prayers of complaint. Instead of praying that Sophia would sleep and I could get what I wanted, I would thank God for the gift of my daughter. And I began to pray legacy prayers over her. I'd pray into her name. Her name is Sophia Grace. Sophia means wisdom. I would pray, "Lord Jesus, may this girl grow up to be a picture of your wisdom and your grace in this world." The Lord was knitting together three hearts as I learned to change my prayer. Prayers that turned from complaint to thanksgiving at that God-awful time of 4 a.m. As we pray this year, let us give thanks. Where we turn from complaining about what is wrong to thanksgiving for the multiple ways God is already at work. Because it matters how we begin to pray. It matters because we can only move into what God has for us in the future if we are grateful for what he has already given us in the present. The second movement in our praying is confession. We begin by giving thanks for the ways God's kingdom has come to us, but then we move to confess the ways our lives are out of sync with his kingdom. We pray, "Holy Spirit, help me to see the ways I'm resisting and rejecting the lordship of Jesus in my life. Give me eyes to see where my thoughts and my words and my actions and even my inactions are out of sync with Christ and his kingdom come." You see, confession in our tradition of church, our flavor of church, is something that we have lost, and it's a shame. Confession is an essential movement to our praying if God is ever going to answer our prayer for his kingdom to come on earth. It's essential. In fact, I'm convinced that God is limited in answering our prayer for his kingdom to come if we are not willing to confess to him where we're out of sync with his kingdom. I mean, how can God's kingdom of righteousness be manifest in our lives unless we're willing to see where we are out of sync with his kingdom and where we are unwilling to take responsibility for the fact? It simply cannot. Righteousness grows in those who are willing to see unrighteousness in themselves. So when we pray, we learn to confess, to turn around, to intentionally realign our lives with the reign of Christ and the way of his kingdom. And you know how with Thanksgiving, there was the obstacle of complaint. Well, our prayers of confession, they have an obstacle of their own, something that stands in the way. You see, we are more inclined, I think, as people to see the faults of others long before we recognize the faults of our own. We're quick to make excuse for our own faults, but we're not so quick to make excuses for the faults of others. And it becomes this preoccupation we have, a barrier to bringing our confession to the Lord when we look out and say, "Well, Lord, look at them." That's not God's heart for us. We face the obstacle of judging others. See, if anything comes natural to human beings, it's this. We're apt at spotting ways other people fall short, whether they be the people that we live with or work with or perhaps even the people we worship. Yet in confession, we take serious the need to take responsibility for our own lives. And we allow Jesus to do his work in his own time in the lives of other people. As we pray this year, having given thanks, let us then move to confess, where we turn away from judging others and we make personal confession to the Lord. And it matters. This matters. Confession matters because we cannot live under the weight of unconfessed sin. Maybe there are some of you here today, and you do feel like you have a burden placed on your life. And you know it's because of maybe a choice that you made, or it's because of the choice someone else has made that has affected you. The Lord doesn't want you to live under that burden. He comes and releases us from the weight that sin places on our life. This is an important piece of what it means to be God's people. It matters. It also matters because God's kingdom is marked by freedom from guilt and shame. There is nothing sweeter, mark this, there is nothing sweeter than living life with a clear conscience before God and other people. Do you know that to be true? That when we know that our life is right with God, where we know we have made things right with Him and we've made things right with those we are in conflict with in life, there is nothing sweeter than living a life with a clear conscience before God and other people. And there's only one way to do it. Jesus is the one who reconciles us to the Father who made us. And He's the one who makes way for us to be reconciled with one another. So we give thanks. We make confession. But then we practice discernment. It is the third movement of our prayers. It's here where we consider how God is calling us to speak and to act as participants in His kingdom. We pray, Holy Spirit, where are you calling me to bear witness to you in my life? Where would you have me invest my time, my energy, my resources today on your behalf, Jesus? What should I say yes to? And what can I say no to so that I might participate in your kingdom coming to bear upon the earth? Listen again to Gordon Smith. He says, we are not merely observers. We are engaged. We are invited, more actually called, as agents of God's purposes in the world. Our words and our deeds, they matter. In some mysterious way, even though God and God alone brings about the kingdom, our lives witness to the kingdom. Our words do and our work does. And so when we pray, thy kingdom come, we also necessarily must pray, how, O Lord, are you calling me to make a difference in your kingdom purposes for our world? Church, you are not a spectator in God's mission to fill the earth with the knowledge of His glory. You are a participant in the kingdom coming to bear upon the earth. So we pray to that end. Lord, show us how and show us where you would have us participate with you today. This year, I want to invite you into a renewed rhythm of prayer, a rhythm of giving thanks, of making confession, and practicing discernment, so that God's kingdom might come to bear in your life and on earth just as it is in heaven. Now, I think the appropriate response in this moment as we draw things to a close is to pray. And that might make some of you nervous. Don't be nervous. We all belong here. Jesus here. There's grace. Don't worry. I'm not going to make you do anything crazy. But I do want to call us to pray. Maybe you're here on your own and you're happy with that. I'm not going to make you talk to someone beside you. I invite you as I lead us to pray on your own, quietly. But maybe you are here with someone that you are comfortable praying with. And I invite you to turn to them and pray as I lead us into praying as we go. But I want to walk us very quickly through these three movements of prayer so that we interact with them before we go. And so, worship team, why don't you come up, because we're going to respond in song after we have prayed together. But let me lead us into prayer for thanksgiving and prayer of confession and prayer asking for God's direction as we discern how He would have us involved in His kingdom come. So, feel free to pray on your own. or in these segments, feel free to pray with those you've come with. I'm going to introduce each of the three kind of movements in our praying. I'm going to say a very short introductory prayer, and then I'm going to give you about a minute to pray into that or so with the person next to you or on your own. The worship team's going to play some music, so it's not really awkward, like, sound in here. And so I just really invite you to turn your heart to the Lord as we begin to pray. And I have those things on the screen. There's maybe some prompt on there that might help you think as you pray. But let's begin. Kind Father, your name is holy. You are good. And I want to begin by praying on behalf of your people here today that we long to see your kingdom come on this earth just as it is in heaven. We have a need, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we want to bring our hearts before you, knowing that it's not always something happens and then we pray. That perhaps the norm should be that we pray and then something happens. And so we pray that your kingdom would come. And we begin, as individuals, as groups, by taking a moment to pray together and give you thanks for the ways that your kingdom has come into our life, your goodness has come to us. And so we pray to that end. That your kingdom has come to bear in our lives, in our church, in our city, for the things that you're doing. We give you thanks and praise. And Lord, we turn our hearts to make confession that Jesus, there are some very real things where our lives are out of sync with the prayer that we're making. There are places where our lives are out of sync with your kingdom in heaven. And so in order for your kingdom to come, we ask that you would realign our lives. Lord, we confess to you the things that we have thought, our thoughts, our words, our deeds. We confess to you the things that we have done and the things we have left undone. So we move into a time of confession, of repentance. Not because in this we earn your love. No, not at all. We turn to this because we know you love us and you're longing to embrace your children. We confess to you. As we take responsibility for our own lives in you. Oh, what a a blessed assurance we have that through your cross, Jesus, that you have brought forgiveness. That there is no condemnation for those who turn to Christ Jesus, that we don't live under a weight of sin and shame, but as we turn to you, honor is restored in an instant. And so we receive the forgiveness that you give us. And we live with that clear conscience before you and before others that there is nothing standing between us and the God who loves us. And so, Lord, we turn our hearts now to ask for discernment, the wisdom of your Holy Spirit. Lord God, as we pray for your kingdom to come, we ask that you would speak to us by your Spirit. As we ask the question, Lord, where would you have us invest in your kingdom come? What do I need to say yes to today? And what do I have freedom to say no to today? So that I might be part of your kingdom come. Holy Spirit, bring your wisdom and speak to us. God, I invite you to stand with me. Jesus, you are the Almighty One. You're the one who holds all things together. I thank you that we can make our home in prayer. That as we do experience the way and the truth and the life, because we come into the presence of yourself. We are your church. Lead us this year into a greater fulfillment and enjoyment of